Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. You're tuned to KSJE, Farmington, New Mexico, 90.9 FM. And now 103.3 FM, K277CR, Durango, Colorado.
Shop. I'm Nicole Brown, the Public Information Officer for the Farmington Police Department, and it's been a while since we've been in studio. We missed Christmas, we missed New Year's, but with me as always is the Chief.
Thank you.
The Farmington Police Department.
The Farmington Police Chief, which hence the name, right? The cop shop with FPD.
Yeah.
So did you have a good New Year's?
I did. I stayed in with my kiddos and my boyfriend, and my boyfriend is a sergeant with the department, and so he had sent out an email kind of letting all the employees know, hey, if you're going to be drinking and have a drive home or a ride home or whatever, let me know, and I'll go and pick up whoever. So it was a sober but really fun New Year's with our kids.
Good.
And yeah.
Good.
What about you? How was yours?
It was quiet. There was no big partying, no big dancing, so that's perfect for me. I did make it till midnight, which was a bit of a surprise. So,
you did? You made it all the way to midnight?
I did too.
My kids were like raring to go at midnight. My 7-year-old and the 14-year-old, I kind of thought, oh yeah, she'll be good to stay up. But my 7-year-old was like a little ball of fire at midnight. Oh. I was like, oh no. I'm tired.
Did she crash eventually?
Once he was still, like, we laid him, you know, laid down with him and kind of chilled out for a little bit. Then he crashed right away.
Oh, that's good.
But it was, the best part was that everybody slept in the next morning. That's the best part. Because usually kids will stay up and then they wake up all early. But no, everyone slept in. So it was good.
So how's your ankle?
It's good. My ankle is good.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I was. Why do you have to call me out? Live.
So if our listeners, viewers recall, we had a tragic incident with a horse.
It's not tragic.
It's preparing us for what may be in 2021 the year of the horse. We may call it the year of the horse. And we may have little exposés on the dangers of horse ownership and horse ridership.
So every active hobby, you take on some risk. Like, that's why it's fun. That's why we do it. And that's just part of being an active human, is you might hurt yourself, that we're breakable.
You might hurt yourself. Well, in this case, you had help from the horse.
Not a ton. No. That was part of the problem. I didn't have a ton of help from my horse. So, but right. I hurt my ankle in November. My ankle is still pretty swollen.
What month is it now?
It's January.
It is January. Any doctors that are listening, either to the podcast or to the live, please feel free to contact Scott Micklin or me at the PD and give me some advice on how you get somebody to the doctor when she clearly needs it.
You know what? I almost have full range of motion.
Almost, ladies and gentlemen. Major, major word.
Almost. And I can almost walk downstairs normally. I can walk upstairs normally. And I can walk normally. I don't have to limp. I'm doing great.
Boy.
I'm healing right up.
Rougher. Rougher days. 2021 may be a long year for us. We'll see. But speaking of close, but we'll see if they can make it because they've been limping through the last several years. And that's Scott's Buffalo Bills. Kind of segues perfectly.
Wow, look at that.
13-3 Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
How in the playoffs.
That? I'm really not part of this show, you know.
You are part
of
the show.
I'm really just sitting here.
You're the reason this show works.
Well.
I'm behind the scenes, usually. But go Bills. Very excited for the Buffalo Bills.
Bills?
As a long-suffering Bills fan, yes.
25 years since they won the AFC East, I think. They were kicked around by Brady and the Patriots forever until the Brady family left, and they capitalized. They look good. They host a playoff game this week.
Right.
Are you going to be watching it?
Of course, if I can. Yeah, sure.
All right.
It's available, you know, because I'm cheap. So, you know, it's got to be on.
All right.
Yeah.
Anybody that maybe has DirecTV that could invite Scott, please feel, you know, again, feel free to contact the show and see if we can get him watching his Bills.
I'll wear my PPE. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodness.
Well, and the Mighty Pack is doing pretty well. We're also 13-3, but we have the first round bye, so we don't play this weekend, so I'm not stressed this weekend. First time in a while.
Yeah, I just feel like
I'm kind of chilling.
I mean, that's a good way to start 2021, I guess.
I think so, too. Not watching the Packers. I caught it.
Did you catch at the end of the Guardians of the Good video, the end of it, where you had said something to, I think, Wendy when we were presenting her gift?
It.
And you said, I only cry like that when the Packers win. Don't cry. And so I edited out just that little part, and then I added it at the end of the video. As like a good little
I didn't see that. Well, thank you. I will be sure and watch that.
I felt like it was just a lighthearted moment that everyone who knows you would enjoy. And I also looked in to where the sheriff, we went to Sharice's house, and he was like, "I'm Sheriff Shane Ferrari, we have a warrant for your house." And she was like, "What?" He was like, "No, I'm just kidding."
Yeah, that was more like April Fool's than Guardians of the Good from Christmas.
It was a good moment, though.
Yeah, it was. And so. We had contact with some good people. And we received a lot of nominations, more than the previous 2 years. And we had some real deserving folks that were going through tougher times. Mm-hmm. We had a chance to go and hopefully make their holidays a little easier, as well as their family. So Guardians of the Good was successful this year. We'll see what we do with it next year.
Yeah, we've got a couple of small recognitions, mm-hmm. more not so much as a monetary gift, but just recognition that we're going to do soon, hopefully. If we can get everyone. Yeah. The hardest part of Guardians of the Good is getting all of you Chiefs wrangled to one day, because you all are so busy and have, you know, you're running agencies. And so it's really difficult to find a day that works for most of you or all of you. And that's the toughest part.
And I didn't help you with the when we were making the selections, because I was double booked that day and I actually forgot that I was supposed to be with Nicole looking at the Guardian of the Good nominations, and I was at my other meeting until she called, and then I had a long drive. So that is a challenge, no doubt about it, is wrangling us all together.
Yeah, but it's awesome when it works.
Yeah.
So it worked for us that day in December when we did the three big ones. So hopefully we can find another day soon and do the recognitions, or at least a couple. We don't have to. It's hard to get everybody, but so, and then hopefully that'll kind of send us into 2021.
On a good foot.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hopefully. So not on a good foot is more current events, unfortunately.
Man, what?
It was a longer week.
It was I feel like we're still in December. I saw like a meme or something. It was like, well, way to go, December 37th of 2020. Yeah.
I actually saw the meme where, you know, 2020 says you can't top this, and 2021 says hold my beer. And, you know, unfortunately, that was the way we did start the year off, especially as it relates to policing. The protest in Washington, D.C. that started, I'm not sure that it was at the Capitol building when it started.
So something that I read was that they, like the organizers of that rally or protest had, I guess it was supposed to be just at the mall, which mm-hmm. is a whole different police force than the Capitol PD. Mm-hmm. And so they had taken out like a parade permit there for the National Mall, and that was kind of supposed to be where they were supposed to be
at. So the park police were kind
of
handling that.
Yeah, the park police were handling that, mm-hmm. and there wasn't a lot of communication, I guess, to the Capitol Police that mm-hmm. that was happening. And so then when they moved, when the crowd moved, they were already behind the ball, mm-hmm. which kind of makes a little more sense when you you know, think about how did this happen?
Yeah. How did they get into
how did they get into that building? And so that scenario to me, just my public safety experience, makes a little more sense that they were already, a few steps behind when it started.
Yeah. And I guess they must not have been anticipating that it was coming to them in the first place. And so they probably didn't have the staffing that would have been required. But it was an ugly scene for anyone that was watching. And this was Wednesday. Just a couple of days ago, where the protests moved in, and it was not unlike stuff we've seen in other parts of the country, except this was unfortunately right in the capital of the country and making entry, forcing entry into the Capitol building. And I didn't realize it initially, and I wasn't able to watch a lot of the coverage initially, so I didn't realize they actually got in and they were roaming around the floor. I thought those things had been sealed off. In fact, the shooting, I thought, was part of that they were sealing off those and not letting the protesters in. But they apparently were roaming around on the floor of the Senate and the floor of the House and into Nancy Pelosi's office, as well as many others, vandalizing it and trashing it. So just a very painful day to watch when that's happening in the halls of our country.
Unbelievable. I'm a big TikTok fan, and there is this thing where you can kind of like reply to other people's TikToks. And so someone had put out one that said, you know, if you are not an American, you know, and you're watching this, what do you think? And so I've been seeing a lot of those replies, and there's so many people that are, you know, in Germany and England and Australia, and they're saying like, yeah, it looks pretty scary. And so to kind of have that outside view of what's happening is frightening. And I never thought in my lifetime I would see something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think three countries were cheering it. I saw that, and that was Russia, China, and Iran. So that's probably, you know, not the best news when we're doing things that make some of our least favorite countries celebrate. But they were celebrating over our own internal demise, so to speak. I think there was a bunch of officers injured. One of them passed away. I'm not sure what the cause of it was. There are a variety of injuries to several of the officers, I think, that are still critical and aren't out of the woods yet. And all told, four or five people, I think, were dead as a result of it.
Five, I think, is the total for, you know, overall just deaths involved. And like you said, not everyone who was injured is out of the woods, so that could, you know, go up. Hopefully it doesn't. But, you know, that an officer lost his life, that American people lost their lives, it's just, it is mind-blowing to me. And definitely, it's not something, like I said, I ever wanted to live through. I never thought I'd live through, but you won't ever forget it.
No. You know, it's something we've talked about on the show over the last couple of years, for sure, as the tension in our country has risen, and so has the vitriol from both sides. And we've talked about it repeatedly here about the middle ground and trying to find some compromise position and trying to lower the tensions. Well, you know, we didn't get that accomplished, apparently, so here we are now. And what's disappointing to me, really, when you watch 9/11, afterwards there was like just stunned shock. There's a lot of uniting in the country, and you would have thought something like this would have tempered things down. There'd been a collective, holy cow, you know, we put our hands on the stove, but no, it looks like it just resumed. We barely skipped a beat, and we're right back to attacking each other for either being communists or fascists or whatever your view on it is. And nowhere am I really hearing the big calls for, you know, let's. We need to figure out how, as Americans, we can talk to each other. Because it was, you know, what, 51, 49? Mm-hmm. So we are a split country. We've got to figure out a way. This isn't like it's 25% that voted. It was 51, 49, roughly. Those are major chunks of people, tens of millions. And we got to be able to do a better job committing to each other.
Well, it was the biggest voter turnout.
Yeah,
you know, in
which is something to celebrate, actually.
Yeah, no, and there is, that's one thing that I think about a lot. Like, through all of this, I, for one, have definitely got a very thorough education into my government, because, you know, I didn't realize all the steps that there were to mm-hmm. to verify the vote, like all the way down to the Electoral College and how right. they challenged, you know, the votes and stuff. And so the upside of all of this chaos is a very informed public, and we are more involved and more passionate about all of this. But like you said, there has to be that, you know, that let's temper this. There's got to be some moderation in what we're doing and how we speak to each other.
And that about each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like we're at war with each other, because the things that we say about each other is things we used to say when we were at war with other countries. You know,
that's so true.
Right? Except now we're talking about other citizens that actually are living right next to us or mm-hmm. sitting in the same room with us at times. It's and, you know, and then from the police perspective, obviously it was a disaster on crisis management. They weren't ready for it for whatever reason, and I'm sure there'll be a significant exploration of mm-hmm. why they weren't ready. You know, I was disappointed that it comes down that, you know, we'd have handled this differently if there was different racial groups involved. You know, they clearly were overwhelmed, and several cops were badly injured, one's killed. You know, I mean, I don't think the race of the protesters was the issue. I think we weren't prepared for it, obviously, and I think it took 24 hours and the chief was gone mm-hmm. Already, and others in his staff appear to be on their way out as well. Insane, so it was unfortunately, you know, it was a failure for law enforcement as well, and not just that the officers were killed and injured, but that they didn't do their job. They didn't keep Congress safe. They didn't keep the American people's building safe, and people were trashing it. So, you know, I was looking at some of the old paintings that were in the background of some of the pictures where the protesters are walking around. Like, holy criminy, you know, you wouldn't have thought you'd see it.
But what's interesting, and what maybe not a lot of people realize happens in law enforcement, when they have something like this happen, and it is, we admit readily that it's a failure.
Oh, yeah.
We don't try to say, well, you know, we did this right and this right. We say, no, we failed. And there's always an after action review. And they always dig to the bottom of what was the failure point. And then, as you go to industry conferences or trainings, or it's something that everybody learns about.
Right.
So that we don't make that mistake again. And I don't think that the public in general really knows that how much, just as an industry, law enforcement is going to pore over this day and know what happened. They're going to dig to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and that's been the case with several of the major incidents through the last, you know, well, 7 years that I've been chief. You know, the Orlando shooting was a massive one, if you remember. That one was a weird one in that you had both an active shooter, which we trained to react to,
mm-hmm.
And our SWAT teams train and our officers train, but then it stopped and it became a hostage situation, which almost never has happened before.
So, yeah, you know, that's very true.
It was massive learning curve for law mm-hmm. enforcement in the wake of that. So now what do you do? If you keep treating it like an active shooter, of course, then you're risking all the hostages that they have that maybe you could negotiate them out. On the other hand, the guy had shot dozens and dozens of people before he took these hostages. Are you really going to trust him now that you're going to enter some sort of negotiation with him? So that was a tough one for law enforcement, period. It was just not one we'd seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was exactly like you said. There was a lot of debriefings. There was a lot of lecture circuit listening to some of the people that had been there. And, of course, you know, you go back to Columbine, and Columbine really was a change to the way law enforcement responded to active shooters in the first place. Up till then, we really did do what they did in Columbine, which was they arrived at the scene, they secured the perimeter, and they attempted to make contact. So it was, you know, it was, it was a disaster when it happened, of course, but again, it was highly debriefed and highly poured over to try and learn lessons from.
Yeah, and completely changed every aspect of the industry. I mean, it changed, I know, as a dispatcher, it changed the way we took calls and talked to people about those things and instructions that we gave callers. And so, yeah, this will forever change law enforcement.
Well, and frankly, 9/11 was the same, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people take over the plane and they say, They have a bomb, and we had probably 20 or 25 years of experience of, okay, we just sit tight, you know, we kind of do what they say, they're going to fly us to Libya or to Egypt or someplace, and then they're going to negotiate us off more often than not without any real police intervention on it. But that changed everything now. You know, when you're on a plane, if somebody stands up and says they have a bomb, you can bank on about 50% of the plane is just turning and attacking them because there's nothing good coming from waiting.
Yeah.
So, you know, this will be a moment, you know, maybe not as cataclysmic as 9/11 in the sense of the body count, but it will be as far as we're letting people, you know, bust in and threaten our lawmakers and take over the Capitol building.
Well, it's just everything that democracy kind of stands against.
Yeah.
You know, that was what I kept thinking is this is stuff that happens other places.
Right.
It's just something, and then you have to kind of make peace with the fact that, no, it's happening here, and how do we move forward? And I really loved what Pence said once they reconvened, and, you know, he said, democracy wins today. And I was really glad that he made that statement and said that, because I know it was like a warm hug for me. It was the warm hug I needed to say, despite what happened, we're still going to do this.
Yeah.
We're still going to do the function that, you know, or complete this task. And that, as an American citizen, you know, was comforting.
Yeah. So, you know, as we continue on now, we're very young into 2021. I mean, I really think we ought to, as a nation, take a New Year's resolution moment here and seriously look at the way we're talking about each other and to each other. If people are responding, and I know they are because I'm watching it, if people are responding with, well, this is justified because this person or this group has done this, and then the other one, see, this is what I've said, you know, wow, are we not learning a thing from how we got here? So 51-49 in a country of 350 million people, and like Nicole said, think something like this happens in America, everybody actually is watching it around the world. I mean, I know we're a little myopic and we only see ourselves, but everybody around the world really is watching what's going on in the United States. It is that big of a deal. And what we're doing and what we're displaying from what really, honestly, is the greatest experiment in American and human government that you've ever seen. And we are dropping the ball with something fierce so that we can have a cool meme on social media. It's just ridiculous. It is something we have talked about here on the show. And the fact that the police wind up being in the middle of all this happens again. You actually had people with thin blue line flags attacking the police.
Which blew my mind. You just and it goes to show, just because someone wears an emblem doesn't mean that that's how they actually carry out their business, and that doesn't mean that's who they truly are. And, you know, we should all kind of take that internal reflection of, you know, you have your personal views and you have them because they're the total of who you are. Sure. And that's, you know, your life experience
in this country.
Yeah, but you should also, you know, you want that respect from someone, and you should maybe give that to someone else, that and listen open-mindedly to what they have to say. And if you don't agree, that's okay. You don't have to agree.
Right.
But you don't have to, you know, somewhere in the middle is the truth, and somewhere in the middle is where we need to be as a country.
So a New Year's resolution that we're going to do better this year, that we are going to be better people, we are going to be a better nation. And we really ought to collectively take that. And if you can't get there, take another look at what happened a couple of days ago and take a deep breath. And let's make that pledge. So we'll see each other in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about horses and Packer football and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
But for today, a little more somber ending to the show. But I hope all of you have a great new year. And we'll see you next time on The Cop Shop with PD.